Melissa in the Morning chats with career strategist and workplace expert, Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job, now on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
You've heard of PTO before, P as in Paul, but have you heard of VTO? And what that is looking at volunteerism. So I was looking at some national statistics, and apparently it's a really big deal if you offer more volunteer opportunities or you encourage your employees to get more community-based, serve their communities as part of, you know, one of the many incentives you hope that you offer at your workplace. In fact, I was reading just today, 84% of employers believe volunteering effectively engages employees. 62% of HR executives find it positively impacts an organization's reputation. And so I wanted to talk about this, especially because we're in a time where we are seeing a lot of people either jump ship and do something totally different. And even just the way we look at our jobs and if we're happy or not. It's not always the God Almighty buck that's going to make or break the deal for you. Maybe it is something like how happy you are in your career that is going to keep you there for long term. So joining us back on the show, Julie Bauke is here, and she is also like a career happiness coach as well. So this falls perfectly under her purview. Julie, how important in your professional opinion is it that jobs prioritize volunteering?
Okay.
I love when she starts like that. She's like, all right, here we go. Let me break it down for you.
So this morning you're getting, duh, Julie, frustrated, Julie.
Oh, no.
The reason I left human resources, those many decades ago, was because leadership just didn't understand what to me and this survey and a billion other surveys have shown, you are actually leading people, not robots. And the more positively people feel about your workplace and the work they do and the work your organization is doing, the harder they will work and the more enthusiastic and engaged they will be. It is not enough to say, we pay you, so act excited, darn it. People want, especially the younger generation, they want to feel good about where they spend or with whom they spend 40 plus hours per week. And so this gets to everything from, you know, how solid and respectable is the leadership of your organization? How do they believe in the mission and the values? Do they feel like your organization does good? So I have worked with clients over the years who say, they got an opportunity to work with a tobacco company like Philip Morris or RJR or one of those. And they're like, no way. And then other people say, yeah, that's a fantastic job. So it gets to the core of what do you care about? So if you care about a company that does good in the community, that should be one of the things you look for. That should one of the things, because that's important to you. And it really, like, so I'll go back. I think we may have talked about this a couple weeks ago, the CEO of AT&T coming out and saying, yeah, pretty much, I'll paraphrase, this is going to be a transaction. Don't look for the warm and fuzzies. You know, don't look for work-life balance. Don't look for any of those things. You're going to come to work and we're going to pay you. And if that's not okay with you, you can go find your life's work elsewhere.
There are people who are fine with that.
Absolutely.
Right. There's something for everybody. Yeah.
There is. And I think that's the important part is that, but if you, let's say you work in an organization and you say, you know what, we used to do a lot of that stuff. You know, we used to, you know, do a volunteer day or give people time off to do volunteer work or, we used to do that and we don't anymore. I wonder why. Well, you know what? Here's what I would say. I'd say, why don't you take the lead and start asking those questions? Gather the information that is out there about the performance of companies whose people are engaged versus the, and Gallup has tons of information about this, versus the performance, the bottom line performance of companies whose people are showing up just to get through the day. There is a marked difference. And so what might that mean in your organization? Might that mean that you give people 2 days off per year to do volunteer work? And yes, they have to show that's what they did. You have a community service group inside your organization that organizes a service day twice a year or whatever it is. And so you have to figure out why don't we do this, and could we, or did we used to, and can we again? And the only way that these kind of things change is people show up, speak up, and then say, this is important to us. Here's some data behind it. People are interested in doing this. And maybe it's something that, maybe you work for an insurance company and the volunteer work you do is in disaster relief. So tie it to the mission of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's why some people work for nonprofits. And sometimes I'll have people say, well, I want my work to matter. I want to work for a nonprofit. And I'll say, okay, what kind of nonprofit? Because there's a billion. I mean, I happen to be involved
right.
with animal-related charities. Other people are into art or, certain ones that raise money for certain diseases, for homelessness, for drug addiction. You think about it. Which of those floats your boat? Which of those makes you say, this is really where I want to make a difference?
So it's interesting you say that, Julie Bauke, and I'm wondering if you can also kind of follow up on this. The importance of a workplace, I don't know if it's enough to even say, okay, this is what this company believes is where we should be putting our volunteer time, but instead incentivizing, hey, we want you to put forward. So for example, here I'm just going to throw it out here because I love the model that we have here at Connoisseur Media. Our employers are, love connecting with community, giving back, all of that. And so what they'll do is if the jocks decide we want to MC an event, obviously we wouldn't charge anybody. Obviously it's our time for free. But if we want to MC an event, we let our bosses know, they let the whole office know, hey, this is something that's really important to Melissa. She loves giving back to children who are on the autism spectrum, or she loves giving back to, trying to combat the issues of mental health crises impacting sports athletes. I don't know, just some of the things that I've done. And then people in our office will come and support it, either donate it or show up to the event, will buy a ticket to the event. And to me, I love that model of I don't need to fit into, because what I think is important may not be the same as my colleagues. And also it means a lot when my colleagues are saying, hey, you know what, this is important that I take out my Saturday night to go and support Melissa, who is emceeing for this. To me, that model is so effective versus being pigeonholed into this is what this company believes in. So you got to believe in it, too. And you've got to give your time.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. And remember, I don't know, because I've been away from corporate America for a while, but I don't know if companies still really push United Way participation. And they did that because they wanted X percent of their people we have 94% participation rate. Then there was some scandals with United Way in some cities, and some people push back. Well, I don't like the fact that I can't direct exactly where my money goes. And it just became a thing. And so I think some have moved away from that, but I think you have to give people space. And if you want to, if you said, this is what I care about, Melissa, and you've got two other people that work at Connoisseur who come up to you and say, I care about that too. I have a cousin who's really struggling with that. Great. Oh, and now maybe you can go to the company and say, hey, there's an activity they have on Friday afternoon, and we'd like to leave a couple hours early to go be a Connoisseur Media presence. I think those sort of things should be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it can be abused, and that's where, again, you handle the exceptions, you handle the abuse as they happen. You don't punish everybody because they said they were going to be, feeding starving dogs, and they were at home playing Minecraft. So you want to, you want to set up some guardrails, but it absolutely feeds back into how people feel about your organization, which then translates into how hard they're going to work. And that may not be you, but it's not all about you. It's about what moves as a leader that may not be important to you at all. But as a leader, you're supposed to be caring about what moves the needle for your people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and when you talk about retention, national statistics also show that. It says 52% of a less turnover rate observed in new employees who participate in corporate giving programs. Giving back, it's a big deal, especially for workers. And so we're talking today about how the data shows the more that companies focus on volunteering and giving back to the community, the better off they are with retaining really great workers. It is just one of many reasons that workers will stay at a company. And so we've got Julie Bauke here. Julie, if we've got listeners who run companies right now, and again, I'm not really talking corporate because, as you mentioned before, corporate is very big into certainly their reputation, right? Oh, this we give back this amount a year. So I'm not really talking about that, but I am certainly talking about entrepreneurs or maybe the smaller mom and pop businesses, 10 or so employees. If this is not a model they're already practicing, what do you suggest they start to do to get the ball rolling, to make this part of their culture at their place of business?
The first thing I want leaders of all size companies to understand is you don't have to do all the work here. You can put together, let's say you've got a small company and you've got 50 people in your company. And say, you know, we'd like to look for ways to give back to our community or the community in which we operate. And we're looking for a couple people to spearhead this initiative, to look at what other companies are doing, to come back to us with some recommendations. And you're going to get a couple people, two to three people, to put up their hands and say, yes, I'd love to do that. I really care about this. I do a lot of community service outside of work. I'd like to spearhead this. So remember, as a leader, you don't have to do all the heavy lifting. Just give it to somebody to come back with proposals, to come back to you with a proposal. And even if you're not able at this point to give them much of a budget, what if it's just something like recognizing the people in the organization who do good things for the community? Maybe you've got a community service board. Maybe you've got a place where people post nonprofit or community service activities. Now, you want to be careful. You want to make sure that it's like nonprofits only or something so that it doesn't start to get political or anything like that. But find ways, if you don't have the budget for it right now, find ways to elevate it as a conversation. So did you know that, you know, Fred has given 50 pints of blood in the last 5 years or something like that? If you just elevate it and talk about it, that is also a way to signal that you care about those things. If you're able to do something like, Joni is organizing a 5K in 3 months that does this. If anybody's interested, see Joni. So it's those kind of things that promote collegiality that really lift people's spirits and feel good about the company they work for. And it's easy in these times with all these layoffs for people to not feel so great about you and your organization. And this is a really low cost or no cost way to start adding to the company conversation.
Yeah. And also, Julie, I would imagine one of the things that we talk about with just leadership, because it all starts with leadership. And one thing that, especially in the last 5 years where we've seen hybrid and staying at home and trying to get them back to the office, this to me is an ongoing debacle that, you know, some places have figured it out, others have not, and it continues to be controversial. One of the biggest reasons that it is such a problem is control, right? I mean, at the end of the day, if it makes sense for your office place to do things virtually, then fine. But there's definitely this breakdown of, could we do things on a hybrid model? Could I do more, maybe 2 hours in the office and the rest being hybrid? I think a lot of it comes down to control. This is one of those things where, to me, I think it's the first step for leaders to give up a little bit of control, is saying, hey, I don't need to be in control of where you volunteer, but I got to know you're volunteering. Or, hey, this is where, if you want to tell our office something that you're passionate about, then here you go. Introduce it. I think this is, to me, one of the easiest ways that, especially if control is something you struggle with, this is an easy thing to give up control of. And I think make employees feel seen, heard, and also like they've got a role besides the position they were hired for.
Exactly. You've got to. And if you have the attitude that, hey, we're just here for work, you know, it's
no okay. One wants that. Well, maybe some do,
you
actually.
You have the right to be like that.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
You do. And there are people who just want to come in, do that. They don't want to hear anything else.
Right.
And they leave. And that's okay, too. I mean, I think what I've been really trying to hit recently is, none of this is one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
And don't try to be everything either. You can't. Just
well, I agree with you, Julie, but I do think we're bringing in a new generation of workers, and this is overwhelmingly a lot of the trends we're seeing. I'd say the majority of people are not going in saying, I just want to clock in and clock out. A lot of people don't feel that way, so I think that's where your conversations are super helpful. Certainly not one size fits all, but I don't think we're talking about the minority population anymore of feeling like, hey, I would love to also volunteer. Hey, I'd love for the culture to be great. Hey, I'd love for you to consider that I'm a parent. I mean, that's become the majority, I think, of the new workers. So I think it's good to have these types of conversations. Like you said, not one size fits all, for sure.
That's right.
Love it. Love it, Julie Bauke. And I'm sorry if I frustrated you. I mean, it sounds like you lead a horse to water, but can't make them drink. That's what it sounded like in the beginning.
That's right. A little bit.
That's okay, Julie. I appreciate you. Right. You're the best. Thank you so much.
Talk next week.
All right. Looking forward to it. Julie Bauke here on WICC.